Thanks. Well, good morning. It's lovely to see your smiling faces out there. So Acts 10, the Apostle Peter, a Jew, visits Cornelius. The Holy Spirit for everyone. Well, there was a bit more to the story, but if we'd have read the whole of Acts 10, we might have been here a very long time. So just to recap, just a tad. So Cornelius the centurion, who is commended for being a good man, has a visit from an angel. He's told to send for Peter, who will be at Simon the tanner's house, which we heard. But then there's this other bit. Peter sees a vision as he waits for his dinner. Peter is absolutely horrified at God's suggestion that he should eat the unclean food that comes down on the sheet, which was unclean for him as a Jew. But while he is still thinking about this, the Holy Spirit tells Peter what to do about the men that are approaching his house to collect him. While Cornelius' men arrive to fetch Peter to his house on the angel's instructions, Peter then invites the men in to be his guests, and after a good night's sleep, Peter and some of the other believers, key point, go to Cornelius' house. So, a new revelation for Peter, aided by his vision. So Peter's been travelling around the local area, and he's found himself at Joppa. It's about 10 miles northwest of Lydda, where the healing of Aeneas had taken place. At Joppa, we see Dorcas brought back to life through Peter's ministry. Now, Peter was continuing to have amazing encounters with the power of the Holy Spirit. But despite that, what happens next is definitely way out of his comfort zone. He's confronted by a vision as he falls into a trance while awaiting a longed-for meal. He is horrified that Jesus would ask him to eat unclean food. Not once, but three times he asked to do that. But although not fully understanding yet, he ponders on what the voice has said. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. I'll just say that again because I think it's key. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. And I wondered as I pondered and as I prepared for this this talk, how many times does Jesus request something of us and we struggle to respond as it just doesn't seem to fit with our current thinking? I know personally that I'm guilty of that. Peter, now at least partially understanding what Jesus is asking of him, responds positively to the arrival of Cornelius' men, and he readily goes with them the next day. So we find Peter travelling to Caesarea Maritima, Judea's primary port, where Cornelius was stationed. Meanwhile, Cornelius is awaiting Peter's arrival with anticipation, and Peter by this time is ready to respond. Note that he takes others with him to witness the occasion. Perhaps we'll revisit that in a moment. In this passage, we see marked the first explicit conversion and filling of the Holy Spirit amongst the Gentiles. From this, there would be a growing recognition and understanding of the Jewish scriptures, and that the gospel message was indeed for the Gentiles as well as the Jews. Now, in Acts 2, as we heard read so kindly in the prayers, we saw how the Holy Spirit was poured out on the Jewish disciples in the upper room, and how the Holy Spirit had the appearance of tongues of fire, and that this infilling empowered them for ministry that God was calling them to. Now, this is a key point because the Holy Spirit is key to us being empowered for the ministry that God has called all of us to do. Not one or two of us here, but every single person in this building. Then the unthinkable happens in verses 44 to 46. And despite Peter's willingness to go and share the gospel with the large gathering he finds on his arrival at Cornelius' house, the believers that he's taken with him are absolutely astonished at what unfolds. As while Peter is still talking to the gathering, all the people there are filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter then declares that surely no one can stand in the way of the people being baptized in water, as quite clearly, God has already met these people and baptized them with the Holy Spirit. God does things his way. And while sometimes conversion or a slow journey towards faith is first, at other times people are filled with the Holy Spirit and then that conversion or that journey starts. Wow, what amazing testimony this was to the other believers that had gone with Peter, which of course would have aided the furthering of the gospel message. Imagine if Peter had gone quietly alone. Would that have been the same? Testimony, as we know, is a powerful witness. I wonder what your testimony today is. It might be of how you found faith. Maybe it's about how you were filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know. Maybe it's something that's happened recently, but testimony is a powerful witness. If you look a bit further at chapter 11 in Acts, you can see that Peter meets great criticism of his visit to Cornelius, which of course breached the Jewish teaching of eating with the uncircumcised. Now this was the believers he was meeting with. Note then that Peter is able to tell them the whole story, therefore bearing witness to what has happened. So the word was out. They'd already heard what had happened. So from that occasion at Cornelius' house, people had gone out and spread the word. They'd given testimony. It says, after Peter had spoken, that the circumcised believers had no further objections. We heard that read. Chapter 11, verse 18. When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so then, even the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. So there's a really clear message here, I feel, not only about everybody being welcome in the kingdom of God, but also that the Holy Spirit is for everyone. Now, I want to unpack this idea just for a moment and ask you a question. Can you think of a time when you have thought that perhaps a particular person or a group for which this infilling of the Holy Spirit couldn't happen? Perhaps you're thinking, absolutely not. Lindy, how could you even suggest that we would go there? Well, it may be uncomfortable, but sometimes our mindsets, learned behaviour, or even our intellect can perhaps sometimes just dismiss certain people or groups. For example, is it their age? I'll come back to that. Is it their approach to faith? Are we a bit judgmental because they're just so different? Is it a disability that seems so profound? Well, I've experienced that firsthand, which I'll tell you in a moment. Is it the culture they come from, or is it the context that they live in? I know they're hard questions and they're hard things to make ourselves think about, but I actually think it's really important that we do. Deb Zaplin, some of you know, from the Lighthouse Church, said this to a friend of mine at the first Connect camp at Holton Lee back in 2010. As the children were quite clearly experiencing the Holy Spirit in worship time, she said this, "The Holy Spirit is the same age in all of us." I'll say that again. The Holy Spirit is the same age in all of us. This statement can also be applied to some of the other areas mentioned above. Now, particularly work with maybe people with profound disability. I've had the most blessing from people with profound disability praying for me. They are empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit that has no age. There's no age barriers here. There's no ability barriers. There's no culture barriers. There's no context that God won't work through. There's no context at all that God won't pour his Holy Spirit into. Or perhaps this is how you're thinking. How could God want to fill me with the Holy Spirit? Maybe that's because you're a little unsure of how that would feel. Or do you feel that you need to have a closer look at the scriptures first? That's fair enough. Then please come and find someone you know and trust after the service and start a dialogue with them about it. It's such an important thing. If you like, then someone can pray with you. Maybe you don't feel worthy of such a gift from God. Again, please talk to someone. This is for everyone. God is in the business of empowering us to take the gospel message out to our community and beyond. Being filled with the Holy Spirit in the way that God wants to do it for you personally enables us to do just that. And that's key. Being filled with the Holy Spirit in the way God wants to do it for you personally enables us to do just that. Two more things to say. Joel 2, verses 28-29. I know it's a very famous verse, but again, it's a key point to make. I will pour out my Holy Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. Can I just say to you, these are those days. And I'm excited about that. Before we close, have we got that song, Tim? There's a song. It says, I am who you say I am. And I just thought we could sit quietly and listen to this. One of the new Hillsong